That's a good investment.
I thought it was. I thought it was a great investment. Yeah.
I am Zach Weaver, and this is Made Us. Well, guys, after surviving Snowmageddon last week, I decided this week I needed to have a little fun. So I invited back Cullen Cook. You guys remember Cullen from way back on episode 9, where Cullen and I talked about his childhood and not becoming a product of your environment. If you haven't listened to that, be sure to go back and listen to it. It's a really good episode. This time around, we had a laid-back conversation and just enjoyed each other's company. We talked about his recent Vegas trip, and then we got a little deeper and talked about mental management and how to get out of your own head when it comes to competing. There's some good nuggets in here, but don't let me fool you. This is just a fun episode, and I appreciate you guys tuning in. So if you like what you've been hearing on Made Us, take a moment to go into Apple Podcast, subscribe to the show, leave us a 5-star rate and review, and let us know how we're doing. And if you don't listen to Apple Podcasts, make sure to subscribe in whatever your favorite podcast app is. And after that's all said and done, share the show with a friend. Sharing the show with a friend is really the easiest way to help this show grow and to get these stories out there. And in between episodes, if you want to keep up with me on social media, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/madeuspodcast or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. I've said it before, I don't really know how to use Twitter all that well, but I'm definitely trying more and more. So go check out Twitter, check out at madeuspodcast and give us a follow. If you have any comments, concerns, or a guest suggestion, drop us a line at madeuspodcast@hotmail.com. So with all the formalities out of the way, I'm just going to let this roll, and we're going to have a good time. So please help me welcome Cullen Cook. Cullen motherfucking Cook. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks for having me back, brother.
Dude, I'm happy to have you, man. You just got back from Vegas.
Yes, sir.
And on your social media, I saw something that I knew I had to talk to you about. You paid a dude to
That kick... sounds bad already.
Yeah, you paid this dude already. You paid a guy.
Yes, sir.
To kick him in the balls.
Yes, I did.
What the fuck, dude?
Well, when somebody's standing on the street, whether it be Vegas or anywhere, holding up a sign, says, kick me in the nuts, you got to kick the motherfucker in the nuts. You can't walk by and not kick him in the nuts.
So you were just walking down the strip?
It was on Fremont Street, where all the freaks hang out.
Okay.
And I was in Vegas 4 or 5 years ago, and I saw a guy on the strip holding a sign, kick me in the nuts for $20. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah,
and I was like, hell yeah, I'm kicking you in the nuts. Come here. And he's like, oh, I'm on my way home. And I'm like, dude, one more nut shot, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't have any cash on me. And I'm like, well, let me hit the ATM. He's like, oh, I'm going home. I was like, I'll walk with you. I don't give a shit. But he was bound and determined to go home. I imagine his nuts were sore. It was a long night.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I've been back to Vegas a few times since then, didn't see him. Well, this last go around, we're over on Fremont Street, and I see these two guys with a sign kick me in the nuts. I'm not sure if it was the same guy from 4 or 5 years ago or whatever, but I was like, I'm definitely kicking this dude in the nuts.
This blows my mind. There's a dude just standing there with the sign that says, kick me in the nuts.
Tell me about it. I'm like, what the fuck? You know? Like, I was like, all right, dude, well, I'm definitely kicking the nuts. How much does this cost? He's like, oh, well, we're street performers. I'm a performer. All right, seriously.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how much does it cost? He's like, we can't set a price, but we like double digits. So double digits to me, that's $10. I'm a cheap bastard. I'm like, I'm kicking him in the nuts for $10. So
that's a good investment.
I thought it was. I thought it was a great investment. Yeah,
$10, kick somebody in the nuts?
Yeah. I mean, I'm helping pay his bills, you know, whatever. So, before I kick him in the nuts, I had to get it all stretched out. You know, I'm stretching my legs, getting loosened up a little bit, you know.
I saw the video. You were doing all the calisthenics, getting ready to go.
So, I'm talking to the guy, and I'm like, how in the fuck did you figure out that you had this talent, if you want to call it a talent? And he's like, well, my brother, he just handed me the sign one day. And I'm like, okay. And then he says, and basically, I'm lazy, and this is the only way I can stand on a Fremont Street and get paid. Like, all right. Dude, I kicked that dude so fucking hard. If you watch the video, his heels lift up off the ground.
He doesn't even look like it phases him.
Dude, he had a cigarette in his mouth. Like, the cherry on the cigarette didn't even light up. Like, no big, deep breath. And he just looked at me. I was like, what the fuck? Now, he did swallow a few times after the facts. I think I got him a little bit better than he expected. If it would have been his brother, I'd have picked him up like a foot off the ground because this dude had probably 100 pounds on his brother.
Was his brother doing it too?
Yeah. Yeah, they'd take turns, nut shot after nut shot. I kick him in the nuts, and then this little girl that was walking by, I mean, she was, you know, early 20s, but I call her a little girl. She was tiny.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my God, I want to kick him in the nuts. So I was like, hell yeah, you got to do it. So I interview her. I got a video of me interviewing her, and this little girl was so excited to kick him in the nuts. She's like, I'm going to kick him in the nuts. I'm going to kick him in the nuts. And it was hilarious. It's funnier to see it on the video, but it was so funny. I couldn't believe that this dude, you know, and then you got Kenny in the background. He's, oh my God, you know, just being Kenny loud. And,
yeah.
Oh, it was so funny, man. But I have a theory on how he takes these nut shots.
Yeah, let's hear this. I want to hear this because I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, because it says on the sign, no cups, no plates, and, you know, no padding, this and that. My theory is he lifts his nuts up and, like, tapes them to, like, his pelvic bone.
Okay. Like, up in front of him? So
they're up in front and out of the way. If I go back and kick him again, I'm Spartan kicking that motherfucker. Straight front kick. Wham! This is Sparta, and I think something will pop, and he's going down.
Oh, man.
Not that I necessarily want to hurt somebody, but you kind of got it coming. If you're standing with a sign, kick me in the nuts.
It's paid entertainment.
It is. You know, I'm not sure if you could go to jail for that. Is it assault when somebody's telling you to do it?
I don't think so. I mean, you paid for it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Any listeners out there that in the legal industry, if they know that's assault, I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know. If someone gives you the opportunity and you pay for it, let us know if that's assault and battery. It's actually battery, I believe.
I'm not sure, but.
So what were you doing in Vegas?
We went out for SHOT Show. For those of you that don't know, Zach and I are both shooters. Zach is a much better shooter than I am, but we do competition shooting. And SHOT Show is the big, it's kind of like the SEMA auto show for guns. It's where all the manufacturers launch all their new products. Just tons and tons of amazing gun gear and competition gear and anything in the law enforcement industry, military industry, firearms industry, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of stupid stuff that are kind of, you know, okay, whatever, that was a good idea, I guess. But
is that the first time you've been out there?
First time for SHOT Show.
Yeah,
first time Vegas, but first time SHOT Show.
I've never done either. I've never gone to Vegas and I've never done SHOT Show.
I highly recommend you definitely do Vegas. Vegas is great for people watching.
Yeah. So we were going to go to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We had this all planned out, Michelle and I. We're going to go to Vegas. Our birthdays are a month apart from each other.
Okay.
So we decided on our 30th birthday, we were going to go to Vegas. Like if we didn't go to Vegas before then, for our 30th birthday, we're going to Vegas. Well, she was pregnant during that time. So we're like, well, we're not going to Vegas because that kind of defeats Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. So I tell people, you know, people are like, oh, well, I'm not a big gambler. I'm not a big partier. I don't really drink. And Vegas, there's so much stuff to do. You don't have to gamble. You don't have to drink. You can literally just walk the streets and people watch.
Yeah.
You can just walk around, look at it. There's so many cool things to look at. And seeing shows, I see a show every time I go to Vegas.
What'd you see this time?
This time we saw a fantasy burlesque show.
Okay.
Which was fantastic because, for one, it was a burlesque show, so there's a bunch of topless women dancing around. But
yeah.
It was absolutely hilarious. They have a host that she comes out, she tells jokes and sings, and then a comedian. The show, it's like one of Vegas's top rated shows, and it was actually really cheap compared to a lot of the other shows I've seen in Vegas.
Okay.
It was 100% worth it, whether you're a guy, a girl. I mean, it was a great show. The row behind us, the entire row, I'd say there's probably 30 to 40 seats in that row. The entire row was older Asian ladies that didn't speak English. And I'm pretty sure they had no idea what the hell show they just bought tickets for.
Yeah, I can imagine that's exactly how that went down. They were like,
"Yeah,
it was, oh, fantasy."
it was funny. It was a great show.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it.
So how long were you out there for?
A week.
That's a long time.
That is a very long time in Vegas. The longest trip I'd ever been to Vegas before, where it was just straight Vegas, was 4 days.
I feel like that's a long time.
4 days is about...
Yeah.
That's about the max. Now, the week that we did out there, it wasn't bad because it wasn't like a whole Vegas party experience for the entire week.
Yeah.
We did 3 full days. We were at the convention all day from literally 8 in the morning till, you know, 5 in the evening.
Is there that much to see there?
I don't even know how to describe the size of the convention center.
I've heard it's huge.
It is. I really don't know how to describe it, especially on here for people that aren't from this area, but it is ginormous.
Yeah.
And it was like 5 levels.
Holy cow.
So.
Yeah, from the people I've heard from, it's like it's almost overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like literally, you're like, oh, okay, we've seen everything. And then you look and there's a whole nother room.
Yeah.
And you get in that room and it's twice as big as the room you just came out of.
Oh, geez.
And then you walk through that one and there's a whole nother room.
Holy cow, man.
And then you're like, holy shit, there's escalators and there's another level and another level and another level. And it was just, it was amazing the amount of stuff.
I've heard it's a good time too.
It
like not just the actual vendors and seeing all that stuff, but like the kind of party, like Glock has a big party, don't they?
Yeah. So different booths, they'll have like the Steyr booth. They had beer there one day. They had kegs of beer the entire day. Which I was talking to one of the guys from Steyr, and he was like, you would not believe how much it costs for 2 kegs of beer.
Yeah.
Because the convention center sets all the prices.
Oh, so it's probably really expensive.
Oh, take a guess.
$1,000?
$2,100 for 2 kegs of beer. I was like, you've got to be shitting me.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, it's, you know, you figure you go to a concert or something, and you're paying $12-15 for a beer.
Yeah.
You know, so they set the price for all of it, but... But it was a good time. I mean, I met a lot of awesome people, everything from pro shooters. You know, I met Travis Haley. I met Kyle Lamb. I met Jim Fuller. I met, I don't even remember who all I met. I met Randy Couture.
Okay.
You know, just all kinds of.
Yeah, they have a bunch of weird celebrities and stuff too, yeah, don't they? I saw pictures of like The Undertaker and like.
Yeah, The Undertaker was there.
Yeah,
from wrestling. There were a couple guys that we know that we shoot with that literally, I feel like all they did was went around and found all the celebrities. I'm like, how in the hell did you find all these people? Yeah, they were getting pictures with all these wrestlers and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's funny.
I didn't even know they were there.
My buddy Andre was out there
and he
posted a photo that he was playing poker with The Undertaker.
Yeah. Yeah, he was playing poker with The Undertaker, and then he got a picture with like another WWE wrestler.
Yeah, I think it was Goldberg.
Yep, Goldberg, but Andre's one of them, like, I swear to God, I don't know that he looked at any guns, I think he just found all the celebrities. I'm like, what the hell were you doing, you know?
That's funny.
And, like, Chris Haver was out there, and we kept trying to meet up, and, you know, he'd text me, and I'd text him, and we just, you know, we're over on this end of the strip, and he's on this end of the strip, and so it sucked we didn't get to meet up, but there's just so much stuff going on, so many people out there.
Yeah.
They have after parties, you know, different, like, they did a... I can't remember. It was a veteran party, but it was like American Trigger Pullers or something like that.
Okay.
They did a, this was actually pretty funny. They did a after party at the House of Blues. Well, at the same time we were out there, there was the SHOT Show convention. There was a concrete convention. There was a stone convention for like granite countertops. There was the AVN Porn Awards was out there. The Redken Beauticians had a convention going on.
It's crazy when they have all the conventions like that.
It's crazy, and it happens all the time.
So I've traveled to a bunch of different places doing tattoo conventions.
Yeah,
and it's the same thing. We go to these like convention centers, and it'll be like Hell City Tattoo Festival, and then downstairs is like a cheerleading convention, and that was a terrible one for that because it was all the cheerleaders were up in the tattoo convention, and then all the creepy old tattooers were down in the cheerleader convention walking around.
There was a softball convention. There was a spray tan convention. There was a...
A spray tan convention? What the fuck is that?
I don't know. People that own spray tanners, you know, they had a convention out there. We met a girl and her boyfriend that... She's like, oh, we're here for... This was funny, too. She's, oh, we're here for the spray tan convention. And this was her boyfriend that was her secret boyfriend that was her brother's best friend.
Jesus. Were they orange?
No, they weren't. Like, I don't think they used her products, but because neither of them were even tan either. That's the weirdest shit. I didn't even think about that. But he was her brother's best friend, and her brother has no idea that they mess around.
Oh, geez.
So they live like, I don't know, like 2 hours away from each other or something like that. So her brother was dropping her off at the airport to fly to Vegas. But she secretly was hooking up with his best friend. So they weren't flying out for like, till like the next day. So her brother dropped her off at the airport And as soon as her brother left, she got an Uber and went to her meet her boyfriend at the hotel. Then they had a little night at the hotel. Then they flew to Vegas the next day.
How did you get this out of people?
Oh, we're sitting at the bar. Just talk. I mean, I'll talk to anybody and everybody. And Kenny Hunt will talk to everybody. I mean, that dude just, you know, he's just a talker anyway.
Yeah, I love Kenny.
Oh, man. He is so funny. So we're just like sitting there and we're just chit-chatting with these people. And next thing you know, they're telling us this whole story. And it was so funny, but...
It's weird that, like, strangers will just come out and tell people stuff like that.
Yeah, and they're going into detail about stuff, you know? And it's just, it's funnier than hell. So there were all these different conventions going on. So anyways, we're at the House of Blues is having this American Trigger Pullers party. So it's all these gun guys. And all of the Redken hairdressers, I guess not all of them, but the vast majority of them are big. They seemed like they were very big anti-gun. They did not like the fact that there were gun people out there.
Really?
I got a story about that here as soon as I finish this one up. So we're at the House of Blues, and about five or six of these hairstylist chicks come walking in. They're all dolled up, you know, for their night out on the town. And they come strolling into the House of Blues, and all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of veterans and hillbillies and gun-toting. And they walked in, and it was like the music stopped, and they just like kind of stopped and looked, and like, holy shit, wrong spot, wrong spot. And they turn around and they beelined out of there so quick. You could just see their comfort level just drop. Like they were like, oh my God, we're in the wrong spot. We're walking through one of the malls and we stopped. I had to go to the bathroom. So I go walking down this long hallway that had to have been 40, 50 yards long. So as I'm coming out of the bathroom, as soon as I open the bathroom door, I hear Kenny, like he's standing right next to me because Kenny is super loud. And it sounds like he's standing right next to me. And turns out these girls were walking by and they seen Kenny, Matt, and Jeremy standing there and like, oh, concrete convention. And they're like, no, gun convention. And as soon as they said that, or as soon as one of them said gun convention, then the girl goes, oh, that's great. A bunch of gun nuts or something like that. And said some derogatory thing. And Kenny laid into her and I don't even know what he said, but as she's walking, he's just yelling down the hallway or down the mall, and everybody's laughing, and it was funny. But he was so loud. Yes, and that's what I'm saying. I was down the end of a long hallway, and it sounded like he was standing right next to me. But I wish I could tell you what he said, but I don't remember. Plus, I didn't hear it exactly. But you know, they were filling me in on it. But
that's funny.
Yeah.
Then you came home from fucking Vegas, and you came home to the snowmageddon that was here.
Frozen tundra. Oh, God.
Yeah, what a mess.
It's ridiculous.
We had, it was like 42 below?
With the wind chill, it was like 50 below or something like that. I'm the biggest pussy in the world when it comes to cold weather. So I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here?
How was the weather in Vegas?
The weather in Vegas was, it was a hell of a lot nicer than it was here. It was good sweatshirt weather.
Okay.
It was high 40s, mid 50s.
Yeah.
Our last day there, it was 65 and sunny, so it was beautiful our last day there.
So you came home to over 100 degrees switch?
Yes, yes. It was, well, hell, we had over 100, we had damn near 100 degrees switch last week.
Yeah.
Because what was it?
This week, yeah.
Yeah. It was negative 22, and then 3 or 4 days later, it was 52.
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't know what the hell's
going on here.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was probably the coldest it's ever been when I was out in Vegas, but it was still, you know, a hell of a lot better than it was here.
Yeah, it was definitely, I can imagine it being better than here because it was a mess here.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I thought about talking to you about tonight is you and I both are coming up on the beginning of a season.
Yes.
Which is going to approach us quicker than we realize, I'm sure. Not just the season that we're coming up on, but kind of that mindset of coming up onto something that you want to perform. That's why I wanted to kind of have you here tonight. I mean, granted, I wanted to hear your Vegas story because I knew it was going to be good. But I've been putting a lot of thought into this upcoming season. And I know, obviously, you went to SHOT Show, which means you're thinking about it.
Absolutely.
And kind of that mentality of going into it. And, you know, I've been really, really digging deep this year mentally. I haven't put in as much physical training as I have in years past. But this year, I've really been digging deep mentally and really thinking about every little thing. And thinking about it has put me in a different mindset that I'm more prepared, I think, this year than I was last year, even though I trained harder last year, because I'm ready. You know, the whole idea is, I think people put themselves down.
Right.
They say that they give themselves denial that, hey, I'm not as good as so-and-so. They are better than me. They're younger than me. They're faster than me. I can't be there. And I think I did that a lot.
Right.
Where I was like, oh, I want to be on these guys' levels, but this guy's done it longer than I have. This guy's faster than I am. This guy is skinnier than I am. This guy is younger than I am. You know, all the guys that I'm trying to chase right now are all younger than me. They're all faster than me. They're all skinnier than me. It just is what it is. I forget that I'm a fucking behemoth, which is another story. So I'll go into this for a second. I got my 23andMe results back today.
I don't know what 23andMe is.
23andMe is like that DNA testing
thing. Oh, okay. Thing. Gotcha.
Essentially, I have a Viking background.
Nice.
Like once you break it all down. Which makes a lot of sense if you look at me. Like, I'm not a little dude.
I'm pretty sure I'm a fucking Viking. Did you see my axe throwing video in Vegas?
I did not see that.
Oh, my God, dude. We went to one of those. It's like a bowling alley, but you throw axes.
Yeah, I've seen them advertised.
Dude, I got video on Facebook of me double axe, one in each hand, two bullseyes. Bam!
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was 100% beginner's luck, but
yeah.
I'm a fucking Viking. So anyways.
No, I keep telling everybody that, though. Like, since I've got my results, I'm like, I'm a Viking. Fuck it. I'm a Viking. I did get one thing that's, I don't know if I should be proud or ashamed. Let me see how to word this properly. I am more Neanderthal than 96% of the people that have done this. I have more Neanderthal variants in my DNA than almost everybody that is on 23andMe, which I'm like, well, that's cool, or I should be really ashamed.
See, I'm twisted, so I'd be proud of it. I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm fucking Neanderthal. I'm a Neanderthal Viking.
Yeah. We had a conversation about this. Do you know that it's actually not Neanderthal?
It's Neanderthal.
It's Neanderthal.
Yes. Did you and I have that conversation?
Maybe. It could have been you and I that had the conversation.
Because I was about to correct you on it, yeah, too, but I was like, no, I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah. Which is weird, because I don't think I've ever fucking said that in my life.
Me
Neanderthal.
Either. Yeah, me either. I don't remember how I heard that or where I learned that, but.
Yeah. Anyways, what I was getting at was the deniability and saying, like, giving yourself that excuse. And I think too many people do that. So I really forced myself this year to not give myself excuses and, you know, mentally go, that doesn't matter. I can do anything they can do.
Right.
And so can you. So can the next guy.
We touched a little bit about this on the last podcast I was on, but I am my own worst enemy or my own worst critic, I should say. Well, actually kind of both because I beat myself up bad.
Yeah.
I'm going into my third season. I look at you and so many of the other guys that we shoot with, you guys will kick my ass. And I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, why am I not doing this? And why am I not, you know, and then once I start doing that, then I mentally break down. And there's video of some of my shooting where you can actually watch me mentally break down. And yeah. I'll have a stage plan, and then you see me just, like, my brain just stops. And I'm, like, looking like, whoa, shit, what am I supposed to grab now? What am I doing now? What target do I shoot? And Kenny Hunt is fantastic at talking me up and getting me in the right mindset and getting me out of that mindset. Like you said, everything's sneaking up on us a lot faster than we thought. I mean, hell, we're leaving for Rock Hard, and what? You're shooting Rock Hard, right?
I am not.
Oh, you suck.
I know.
Well, we're leaving for Rock Hard in, like, 3 weeks. Or 3.5 weeks or something
like that. Yeah, that's
soon. Yeah, and I am fat and out of shape, and I'm like, son of a bitch. But going into this season, I am less, I don't really get nervous, but I'm more comfortable.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I have less jitters. I'm just more calm and relaxed. And so far, I've shot one match this year, and that was an indoor USPSA match.
Okay, which is a pistol match. For anybody
correct.
That doesn't know.
Yep. And I shot the PCC in it, which is the pistol caliber carbine rifle. A lot of USPSA guys aren't hip to the PCCs, but yeah, they're starting to come around a little bit.
That's a whole different drama.
Yes. I was talking to Kenny the night before, and I'm like, man, I said, I haven't shot in months, you know, I'm probably going to come in dead last. And he's like, dude, quit talking like that. You'll be fine. You're going to do great and this and that, blah, 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 blah. So because of my last name, I typically always shoot first or
close right to the beginning. Yeah,
close to the beginning because it's alphabetical order and then it goes random and this and that. So I typically am always up toward the beginning. So, of course, I was the second shooter of the day and I completely bombed my first stage. And I'm like, man, what a fucking mess, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's hard when you hit that, especially mentally, you know.
Yeah.
Physically you're fine.
Yeah.
But to have that mental breakdown. Yep.
And I'm like, dude, that sucked. And then Kenny's like, dude, it wasn't that bad. Just get out of that mindset, you know, and get your shit together. So the rest of the stages I felt great on.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I completely screwed that first stage up, but I felt pretty good on the rest of them. When the scores come out, I took fifth overall and first in PCC division.
Nice. Congrats, man.
Now, mind you, there were only four of us in PCC division, but two of the four were Kenny and Sal, which
those are
kicked
good
my ass, you know, any day of the week.
Yeah.
They typically will kick my ass 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, good shooters.
So, yeah, and I beat them, and I was like, holy shit, you know. So I don't know that I did that good or they did that bad, but the fact of the matter is I got out of that mindset. Again, thanks a lot to Kenny. You know, for helping talk me out of that mindset. So, like, just going into the season, I'm more comfortable. I'm not really stressing it, you know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm, you know, just looking forward to getting back out there every weekend. And I just started making my schedule for all the different places we're traveling to this year and just loading it in my calendar.
Yeah. Are you guys going all over the place?
Let's see. We're doing Rock Hard in Kentucky. We're doing the JP PCC match down in... what is it, Sellersburg,
Southern Indiana.
We're doing the Lucas Oil match in Missouri. I just seen there's another one in Missouri now that's joining the Rock Hard and the Hard as Hell series.
Okay.
In July, the month before, we're going for Lucas Oil at the Lucas Oil Ranch, and it is another Rock Hard series. And all the proceeds to that one go to police officers' funds.
Nice. That's awesome.
And I don't know if Tobin Babcock is the match director for it, but I know he's doing a lot with putting it together. I think he might be the match director for it. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to be able to make that one because I'm going the month after that.
Yeah, that's hard. That's a big commitment.
It is.
It is a huge commitment.
And then all the local matches, they're still, I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to be able to make this one at all, but there's still the Alaska three-gun match that people are talking about going to.
Yeah, I've been
in June, and
I've been thinking about it. It's been up in the air too.
Man, I want to go to it bad, but that's going to be a lot of money.
That is a huge trip.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's just so much stuff going on, and honestly, I'd have to look at my schedule to see what all ones I'm already registered for. I can't remember the Mission 22 match over in Illinois.
There's a bunch of
that one. Yeah,
there really is.
And like I said, then there's all the locals. So, I mean, we literally shoot like every single weekend.
Yeah. That's another thing going into something like this. We shoot. That's kind of our gimmick, our game. But I don't think it really matters. You know, it just depends on whatever you are. If you play softball, if you fucking run races, whatever it is. It's really daunting to look at a big schedule like that.
Oh, yeah.
And overwhelming when you start going, oh, shit.
Very much so.
Here goes this weekend. Oh, here goes this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another part that's really hard to wrap your head around mentally, which I think is maybe part of the issue that got you last year, being that last year was one of your first seasons of being like truly competitive.
Right.
And I think that is one thing that gets everybody is anytime you get into something and you're trying to be truly competitive and you see that schedule, you let it get in your head.
Right.
And you're almost ahead of yourself, even though you're not trying to be.
Right.
Yeah. The mental side of this is
that schedule and that commitment. There's so much stuff to, you know, because you got everybody that you shoot with. They're like, hey, are you shooting this match? You're shooting this match. What about this one? You can't miss this one. So not only are you committing all the time, but the expense and the money. And like you said, you know, it doesn't matter if you're playing softball or racing motocross or running marathons or whatever. Hell, I got friends that play softball. You know, they've backed out of it some, but they were playing like five nights a week. And then tournaments every weekend.
Yeah.
And all that stuff adds up. And even if it seems like a cheap hobby, I guarantee you it's not. You know, when I started hanging out with a bunch of my buddies that played softball all the time, you know, I'm thinking, you know, they're like, oh, I just bought a new bat. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. And they're like, yeah, it was a $600 bat. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, you can get them at Dick's for like $35. But it's just like anything else, you know. I used to, I guess I kind of still mountain bike. My mountain bike's sitting, you know, collected dust. But
you're like, I own one.
Yeah. When I first started getting into mountain biking, I was like, oh, I'd spend $200, maybe $300 at the most on a mountain bike, you know, but I wouldn't spend any more than that. I got a freaking $3,000 mountain bike sitting in my garage.
Jesus Christ, man.
I don't have that much into it, but that's what the bike, actually the retail on the bike when it was new was like $39.95, you know.
Holy shit.
And you can drop $15,000-$20,000 on a mountain bike.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just like shooting, just like anything else, there's different quality equipment. And once you test out some of that high quality equipment, you're like, holy shit, I need that. Or that, you know, and to an extent, there's a balance because you got a lot of the people that just want to spend the money thinking that's going to make them better.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that chase equipment
and
try to chase being better instead of practicing and trying to get better on their
own.
They're just want to throw money at the situation. And you see that a lot. I've seen a lot, like you said, in a lot of different fields.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's always trying to buy the newest thing to get better. And you're like, dude, if you just spend some time with what you got.
Yeah. Now, you need quality equipment. You know, you don't want to, like, if you go into 3-gun, you don't want to go into 3-gun with a piece of shit gun that's not going to cycle.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to get into mountain biking with a bike that when you hit some bumps, the chain's going to pop off. You know what I mean? So you need to spend the money on quality equipment, but you don't need to go balls out and be like, oh, got to have the best of the best. Hell, there was a couple guys that came to our intro to 3-gun clinic last year and then shot, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but then they came and shot like a match. And the guy had never shot a match before in his life. And he shows up with like a Salient Arms Glock, which is like a $3,000 Glock. You can go out and buy a Glock for $550 all day long.
Yeah.
He had a $3,000 Glock. It was all tricked out. He had a Benelli M2, which are $2,000?
Yeah. You know? Depending on what's done to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't remember what rifle he had, but he probably had $10,000 in firearms, couldn't hit shit.
Yeah, probably didn't even know how to operate them.
Yeah, and he didn't. He loaded his shotgun with dummy rounds.
Oh,
I'm like, dude, put those in your car. Those are for practice, you know. And you know, God love him, the dude wanted to come join the 3-gun and, you know, come out and have some fun. But if you got the money, spend it, whatever, I guess. But you don't need, like you said, get good with what you have.
Yeah,
you know, you don't need to go out and spend $3,000 on a pistol.
You need reliability in whatever it is,
right?
So that you can have repeatability, because I think getting better in any field or any game, any practice, is repeatability, is knowing that every time I can do this, every time exactly the way it needs to be done. And that's something money can't buy. That's something you just have to put time into, you know. And the other thing that I think of is putting that time in. A lot of people want to get better, but they don't want to put the time in, but they want to tell themselves they're getting better. So without putting the time in, you're not really making it accurate.
I'm terrible at that.
I wasn't trying to call you out on that.
We've talked about this so many times. I have an alarm set on my phone to every night at 7 o'clock to do some 3-gun training and practice. You know how many times I do it?
I don't want to know, probably. I'm probably disappointed.
you would be so disappointed. I don't do it. I don't train. I don't do the dry fire practice. I might do it once every 2 months.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it every day. And every day I see that thing pop up on my phone. I'm like, complete.
You got to be a savage, dude. You got to do
it. I know, but
every day, be a savage.
You know, if I did it every day for a month, it would probably change my entire game.
Exponentially. You
know? And it's crazy. And I know that, but I'm just like, it's not fun. Going to the range and shooting is fun.
Yeah.
When we go do a training session at the range, that's fun.
Yeah.
Me running around my basement dry firing, it's just not fun for me. And I don't know. I need to get past that. I need to find that motivation that gets me that level of success that I want and that I expect.
Yeah.
Because I'm terrible at things. You know, I'm like, once I decide I'm going to do this, I expect to go in and be good.
I'll tell you what has really changed my focus lately, and my listeners will know this because I've talked about it probably the last 4 episodes, is the book Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
I'm listening to it right now.
Phenomenal.
I hate reading, so I'm doing the audiobook.
The audiobook is awesome.
Plus the audiobook, I like the audiobook because between each chapter, they do like a little mini interview and break it down.
And he talks about stuff like that, about just being like, just trying to be savage and putting it out there and putting in the work so you know that you're doing it.
That dude's also a freak. And
but he's not. That's where he comes from.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he doesn't come from anything.
Right.
That's the whole point of that, is this guy was nothing.
Right.
He was built. He wasn't made.
Right.
You know, and he talks about that at the end of the book, which I'm going to ruin for you if you even got there.
He says
that, you know, he was built. He wasn't born.
Right.
You know, he talks about being a 300-pound guy that joined wanted to be a Navy SEAL, lost 100 pounds in 3 months and fucking joined the SEALs, you know, and now he's the fucking hardest man on the planet.
Yeah, I've heard his story numerous times because, like, I know he's been on Rogan's podcast two or three times. I've listened to all those. He's been on there. So once I found out he had this audiobook, I was like, dude, I got to get that. So I just started listening to it probably about a week before I went to Vegas. Maybe not a week, but a few, I don't know. But I'm, I don't know, four or five chapters in.
Yeah.
I listen to it during the day as I'm driving around working. But then once I get to a job site, then I shut it off because I can't concentrate on fixing somebody's furnace while I'm listening to other crap. And, you know, I get sidetracked real easy. But yeah, it's so far I'm very happy with it. I'm excited to finish
that, That book will change your mind on a lot of things. And that book is one of those things that he's got a couple of moments in there that he talks about different things. And one of the things I really took to heart was he talks about it's easy to be a big fish in a small pond.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want to be is a wolf among wolves. So basically he's saying you need to surround yourself with the best to be the best. And that's one thing that I've always tried to do,
mm-hmm.
but definitely hearing it out loud like that,
right.
Putting that definitely reinforces the fact that that's where you want to be or where I want to be,
right.
Where I should be is with shooting with people that are the best, not trying to beat Joe Schmo.
Right.
You know, the guy you said showed up to the class and doesn't know how to load his guns.
Yep.
That doesn't mean anything.
Right. I've always been that same mindset. Like when I used to ride and race motocross, I always rode with the dudes that were way faster than me that would kick my ass on the track every day. Because if I can keep up with them, then I can beat all the average riders out there.
Yeah.
When I used to train MMA, I went to the best gym around and trained with the best. Because I'm like, if I'm going to learn, I want to learn from the best. I don't want to be able to go in and just beat this guy up and beat that guy up, you know. In the three gun, you know, I try and shoot with all you guys that can teach me something that are, you know, so if I do have a freak of nature type day where I beat like Kenny and Sal or you or anything like that, hell, I beat Tim Wolf on one rifle stage two seasons ago and I still don't let him live it down. Every single time I'm like, hey, remember I beat you on that rifle stage? You know,
yeah.
And I'm sure he's tired of hearing it, but to me, it makes me laugh on the inside and I like it. So I don't really give a shit.
Love it.
But that's the thing. I want to shoot with better guys. I want to race with faster guys, you know, anything like that. So I get, you know, I'm definitely up for that mindset. I just struggle finding that motivation to like do the dry fire practice. And especially like, even though I'm in my warm house, wintertime, I freaking hate wintertime. All I want to do is hibernate. I don't want to come out from under a blanket, dude. I hate this shit. And
dude, I really like the winter, to be honest. I didn't like,
you're a freak.
I didn't like last week when it was the wind chill was -42, but I do like winter. Like I like the snow. If it could stay like 25-30 degrees, I'd be okay with it.
Oh, yeah.
You just gave me the eye roll.
I don't even know you anymore.
The listeners felt the eye roll.
When it gets below 50 degrees out, I'm pissed. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Oh geez.
Every winter when it gets cold, I start threatening to move somewhere warm.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. A couple years ago, it got cold as hell. I sent a resume off to the Florida Keys.
You were gone.
I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out.
This shit.
Yeah. But I'm sure every other HVAC guy in the cold area sent a resume off there too that same week. I never heard anything about it. But
yeah,
I do not like winter. I used to play ice hockey.
Really? Play ice hockey?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a blast. I loved it. And that was like the only thing in the winter that I ever did.
I want to get my boys into it. My boys play floor hockey. I really want to get my boys into ice hockey.
Ice hockey is so much better. It's so much fun. So I was dating this girl. Let's see, this would have been 6-7 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
And she played hockey. Her mom played hockey. Her brother played hockey.
Were they Canadian?
No. They just like hockey. I'm sitting there talking to them, and they're like, oh, you should play hockey with us. I'm like, all right, cool. And they're like, you know how to skate? And I was like, well, I skated once 20 years ago. But since then, I learned how to rollerblade, and I was badass on rollerblades, so I'm pretty sure I'm good. And, man, my very first hockey game was my third time in my life on ice skates.
Yeah.
Knew no rules of the game.
Oh, geez.
And I looked like a big old fat baby giraffe out there on the ice. I was slipping and sliding. I ended up picking it up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a bit overweight and out of shape and all that, I usually pick up on things pretty fast.
Okay.
I'm pretty agile. I'm pretty athletic for a fat dude. And I'd be dangerous if I'd lose some weight.
Hey, listeners, get a hold of Cullen and give him some motivation.
I have been dieting, and I'm down like, I think I'm down 13 or 14 pounds since the first of the year.
Nice. So, congratulations, man. Yeah.
So
keep at it.
I know.
Stay driven.
Yeah. I need to lose a whole bunch more by the time I get to rock hard.
Don't stay motivated. Stay driven. It's different.
Yes. So anyways, I get out there and I start playing ice hockey, and I picked it up pretty quick. I played for, I don't know, 3 or 4 seasons, and then I moved, and now, like, then I was just further away from the ice box where we were skating at all the time. And so it's just one of those deals where I still have all my hockey gear. It's funny, if you look in my basement, I've got like all these things that I was into. I've got my old hockey gear. I've got my old MMA gear. I got all my motocross gear.
I've got sections of hobbies.
Yeah. You know, and it's all stuff I'm like, oh, I should get rid of that. I was like, but you know, I might get back into that, you know. And
Yeah,
I don't know. It was fun, though. I have fun.
So I'm going to end this podcast differently.
Okay.
Every podcast, I ask for a piece of advice.
Okay.
The point of tonight's podcast was to sit down with a friend and have a good time.
Okay.
Which is what we've done here tonight.
Right.
We started with a drinking story. Let's end with a drinking story.
Oh, let's see. I'll give you a couple options. You get to pick. We're going to do Crackhead Fight Club.
Oh, boy.
Or we will do Johnny Passed Out in the Hallway.
Let's do Johnny Passed Out in the Hallway.
Okay. I want to say it was 2 or 3 years ago. One of my best friends lives down in Missouri.
Okay.
And we're Chiefs fans. And then one of my other best friends is here local. And his cousin lives in Seattle.
Okay.
And they are big Seattle Seahawks fans.
But you're drinking out of a Bears mug tonight.
Yes, which is disgusting, but tastes good. I'll sacrifice. So Eric and all his buddies out in Seattle, they all have season tickets. And every year, they pick one away game.
Okay.
And they go do an away game. So they decided they were going to Kansas City for a Chiefs game. So his cousin Randy, which lives here local, you know, he's like, oh, meet us down in Kansas City. We'll go to this Chiefs-Seahawks game. We're like, you know, fuck yeah. So
yeah, that sounds like a good time.
We had like 8 of us from this area go down and meet up with a bunch of our friends from the Missouri area. And then Eric brought 20 or 26 people from Seattle.
Holy shit, man.
So we had like one whole big corner of this hotel. Like they just stacked the rooms. So we go to this game and did a shitload of tailgating, and we drank and drank and drank all day long.
Yeah, that's usually what you do at games like
that. Oh, man, it was so much fun. We get, you know, game ends, Chiefs won, which was awesome. We're shit-faced drunk, then we hit the bars. So Eric and all his buddies, when they come in for a Seahawks game, like they redecorated their hotel rooms. They took the pictures off the wall, took the frames apart, put Seahawks things in the frames. Their bathtub was filled with booze and all this and that. So it was pretty funny. So anyways, we go party at this bar, and we've got this entire section of the bar is all taken over by all of us. And we're just having a good old time. And this dude, Johnny, which I had never met Johnny before.
Okay.
But Johnny is, what do they call him? Like fire hoppers? He's one of those fire jumper firefighters that, like when they had the forest fires out in the Pacific Northwest, they go in and fight those fires. And just a little dude, you know?
That dude must be pretty brutal, though, if that's his job.
Yeah, it was. And there were a few of those guys out there, I think. But Johnny's fucking hammered. And he's like, oh, we're going to take off, head back to the hotel. I'm like, all right. So we stay and we party. So now it's a few hours later. So we're heading back to the hotel. Brian's wife doesn't drink, so she drives us everywhere, which is amazing. And she puts up with our dumbasses.
Fuck yeah, that's a fucking champion right there.
Oh, it's crazy. And her husband alone is annoying as shit. And then you get all of us together, and oh my God, I don't know how she doesn't murder somebody. So we get in the... We're heading back to the car, and Eric decides he wants to stop at Burger King and get a Whopper. So we go to Burger King, and he orders a triple Whopper, which I wasn't even sure was a thing.
Yeah, I don't know that that's a thing.
Yeah, well, they made it, and this thing was fucking huge. Well, he's so drunk, he couldn't figure out how to take a bite out of it, so he's got it standing on end, and he's just biting out of the middle of it. So he's got just this crap all over him we called Whopper mud. And it's all over his face, all over his hands. We get in Paige's car, and he's got this Whopper mud all over his hands. He's rubbing it all over the leather seats. Oh. And anyways, long story, but we end up getting back to the hotel. We're trying to get Eric to his room, and he's hammered. So we get to his floor, and we all get off the elevator, and he's like, all right, see you later. And we're like, no, dude, this is your floor. You got to get off the elevator. So he comes running out of the elevator and tackles me. And next thing you know, we're wrestling on the ground. I get up, and he's hanging onto my leg like a child, and I'm dragging him down the hallway. And then he tackles me again, and I look up, and I'm like, is that somebody sleeping in the fucking hallway up there? Oh, and we get Eric enough to where he lets me go so we can actually go up and investigate. And there's Johnny that left the bar 3 hours later, passed out in the hallway, sunglasses laying on the floor, his wallet's laying on the floor, there's cash laying all over him, and this dude had been passed out for like hours, sleeping in the hallway. How he didn't get robbed, how nobody took his money, I don't know. We had no idea which of the rooms he was in, so we just found one of the rooms that somebody answered the door, we knocked on the door, they opened the door, and we just dumped him in there and left him, and it was hilarious. So it's one of those where you probably had to be there. It was a lot funnier to be there and see it. But man, what a it was just one of those great times that we'll always remember. And you know, it's as drunk as we all were, we will always remember it. And Johnny may not remember. He may not know it to this day. But it was just a good drunken night, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was fun.
So I'll give you one real quick too.
Okay.
Let's see. This is probably 2008.
Mm-hmm.
We went to New Orleans.
Okay.
So this already starts off rough.
Yes.
We are down there over Halloween.
2008 is pre-Katrina, correct?
After Katrina.
After Katrina. Okay.
Yeah. It is. It's.
I couldn't remember.
It's Katrina one was. Year or 2 years post-Katrina. So it's still pretty shitty down there at this point. There's
it
a lot
was
of
shitty
stuff.
Before Katrina.
The hotel we stayed at had half of it still boarded up.
Okay.
At this point. So we stayed in Metairie, which is outside of New Orleans. It's where the bridge crosses to go over Lake Pontchartrain, which is like the big lake down there. So we stayed there. There's a bar across the street. We go over to the bar, whatever. We're not planning to do anything. We go over to the bar, start drinking a little bit. Somebody in our group decides we need to go to Bourbon Street. It is now 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
when we decide to go to Bourbon Street. We get to Bourbon Street. We start walking up and down Bourbon Street, drinking, having a good time. At some point, we get hit with beads on Bourbon Street, and we look up, and there's like a bunch of frat dudes up in the balcony. One of my buddies that I'm with, and I'm not going to mention names because I don't know if they want me to share this story. One of the buddies that I'm with, we'll call him Morris, picks the beads up off the ground and chucks them back at the guys. And then we proceed to get in this fight, like a bead war back and forth mm-hmm. with these guys. Well, at some point, we ran out of beads, and we had these hurricane drinks.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
So he starts chucking these hurricane drinks up at these fucking dudes, blasts one of the guys in the face, and they all disappear. We're like, oh, shit, this is not good. Like, we're going to get in a fight. It's Friday night.
Right.
Like, we're going to sit in jail all weekend. Here we go. Luckily, nothing ever came. They just disappeared. So, okay, we're past that. We walk down Bourbon Street. And the further we get down Bourbon Street, we don't realize what's going on. It's Halloween. We start looking around. And we're like, we just passed four dudes with assless chaps. And then you start looking. You keep going and you keep going. Well, apparently somewhere on Bourbon Street.
You went too far.
We went too far. And there is like a gay block.
Yep.
Not that I have any issue with that. But it's alarming at 3 a.m. when you're hammered.
And you don't expect
it. And you don't expect
it. Right.
So we turn around. We go back. We come back, and there's a ton of strip clubs on Bourbon Street. Like Morris, again, Morris is the instigator of this whole thing, talks to the bouncer of this one strip club and tells them that we're with the tattoo convention and he should let us all in for free. Sure as shit, he lets us all in for free. We get in there, and it's literally the scene in the movie where the music stops and everybody looks at you. We have now 20 heavily tattooed white people. It is an all-black strip club. Everybody in there is black. Again, no issue with that, but they were alarmed to see all of us.
Right.
We go up to the tip rail. We start sitting at the tip rail. My wife is with us at the time. We had a great time. My wife has a great time. We're sitting at the tip rail. They start trying to play rock music to entertain us.
Right.
The girls don't know how to dance to it. No fucking clue what they're doing. We're like, just put the stop. Put the music back on.
Just play your shit.
We're good. We're good. At some point, we decide to leave. I don't know how this even happens, because by now I'm so out of it. It's not even good. We leave, and all of a sudden I start hearing my name being called. I'm like, who the fuck is calling me? Like, I'm with everybody I know. Who the fuck is calling me? I look up, and there's the people that I tattooed that day up in a balcony. So we go up to this balcony room, because all the girls want to use a nice bathroom. Bourbon Street is just shitholes after shitholes. So all the ladies that were with us want to use nice bathrooms. We get up there. It's two conjoined rooms. They go, oh, yeah, you can go in this bathroom. If you go through this door, you can go in the other room and go to this bathroom. So we all do that. We all leave. We get in the cab. As soon as we get in this cab to go back, there's like 10 of us in this taxi, this van taxi.
Right.
My buddy, we'll call him Roberts, pulls a bunch of shit out of his pocket. And he goes, look what I got. He had taken all like the disposables from their bathroom. And I apparently did the same thing from the other bathroom, because then I emptied my pockets and had all the disposables from there. The fucking soap, the shampoo, for no goddamn reason whatsoever. Just stole everything out of their fucking bathroom. These people that we had just met. As we're going back, we have a friend of ours in the front seat. And it's a little Arab guy that's driving.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing whatever music it is. And he turns it off and puts on fucking Britney Spears. And the guy in the front seat goes, no, leave it on. They'll like it. He plays it again. And my buddy Roberts, the same guy that just did this, is in the back seat. And he goes, what the fuck is this? Arabian death metal? Whole fucking van is quiet. I was like, oh my God, this is not good. This is not good at all. So, end of the story. It is now 7 a.m. It is light out. And there is a picture of us, which I will try to find and post online, sitting on the hotel stairs. I have a shower cap on my head. And it, like I said, it is light out. And we all have to tattoo at noon. Yeah. It was fucking rough.
Yep. Yep. Bourbon Street can get pretty rough, pretty interesting, pretty quick.
Yeah. Pretty disgusting.
Yeah. It's... That's why I was asking if it was pre or post Katrina, because I was there pre Katrina, and it smelled like piss as soon as you walked into that city.
Yeah.
Bourbon Street's fun, but man, it is gross.
It is gross.
But yeah. We had a blast down there.
All right, Colin, thank you for joining me tonight, buddy.
No problem, brother.